Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, and welcome to A Taste of the Past. I'm your host, Linda Palaccio, on this half-hour journey through culinary history. And you know, some of us like to identify ourselves as that word, foodie. And then maybe some of us would like to identify ourselves as bready. I kind of like bready. I hope I've coined a new word. I don't know. But bread is, you could say it's a simple thing, but it's not. It's the staff of life. And, you know, it's only four ingredients: flour, water, yeast, salt. But how it turns out, therein lies the mystery. And there's all of this talk and movement back to artisanal bakers and artisanal breads. And my guest today doesn't have to hark back to artisanal baking and leave something behind. He's never left it. It's Eric Kaiser, and Eric is a fifth-generation baker, and he opened his shop. He hails from the Alsace region in France, but he opened his first shop in Paris in 1996, and now we will find out for him. He's all over the world. Maison Kaiser. If you have not heard of Maison Kaiser, have not eaten the bread of Maison Kaiser, of Eric Kaiser the baker, then you have something wonderful to discover. Eric started his baker apprenticeship at 14 and spent, I would probably, it's fair to say, the next 15 years of his life learning and training and apprenticing. But we'll hear all that from Eric. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I said that you never left the artisanal world. You are a fifth generation, correct, baker?
Yes, I'm the fifth generation. And when we say artisanal, it means that we need to mix and to baking in the same shop, in the same place. And this is what we do everywhere in the world.
And by hand, right? Everything. Or, well, I mean,
by
today.
But by mixer.
Yeah, mixer, right, today. in fact, that was a question I had for you. It's Eric Kaiser Boulangerie, which, of course, means bakery. But in France, to be a boulangerie, there is a specific designation, is there not?
Yes. Normally, when you have two specifications. One is artisanal bakery. It means that it's a law. You need to mix and to bake in the same shop.
In the same shop,
and
right.
The other thing is boulangerie. Is usually we say boulangerie is for boulangerie pastry. But now the baker need to do boulangerie, pastry, little food, you know, takeaway.
To survive, right? You got to do everything, right? Well, your baguettes have been hailed as some of the best in Paris, or the best in Paris, I must say. And what did someone said? Oh, you just have to look at that golden crust and then squeeze it and hear the crackle. And also something that was mentioned was the pointed ends of the baguette, designating that it was indeed made by hand.
Now, you know why we put pointed? Because the people, they love when they quit the shop, take the bread, and eating. They love to share. When there are two people, they share the baguette, they keep, and they eat in the street. And I see last time in New York, the people starting to do the same thing. They go at 5 or 6 p.m. afternoon, they buy the baguette, and they start to share on the street, and they start to eat and smell. Because the most important, when you buy a bread, baguette specifically, you need to smell. So normally you push on the bread, and all the flavors coming in your nose. We have more than 200 different flavors in every bread. But you need to have a good, this is what you say, baking. The baguette need to be brown, yellow, but not white, never.
Mm. Well, tell me about your family background and the baking, the type of baking that was done and who was doing it and how, I mean, obviously you were born into this, so that was, you know, you didn't have to become inspired by an outside source, but interesting that you chose to continue in that line.
Yes, I chose to continue. It was my dream. When I was 3 years, I remember the time I say I will be a baker similar to my father and my grandfather. And all the people thinking I'm crazy, but when you are 3 years and you say I will travel and I will be baker at the same time, the people thinking you are just crazy. And after, I all the time keeping my idea. When I see my grandfather at first and after my father, I see how they love to work with the dough. At this moment, with my grandfather, he mixed by hand. So, you know, when you take, you're starting to mix 20 or 30 kilo of flour by your hand, you spend more than 1.5 liters from your body.
Wow.
And go to the dough because you need to spend all your energy. I say all the time, you need to communicate with your bread. You need to send your energy in the dough. So for me, it was a beautiful story. But my dream was at the beginning to thinking how I can help the bakery to be more for the time. Because, you know, now you cannot ask the people starting to work at 8 p.m. the afternoon, the night, because it's a little difficult on the weekend and all of that. So we're starting to go back to the story of the bread. So we find the very whole recipe, but we have adapted to a new technology. So we are starting to work with the machine and with the flour.
I want to talk about that new technology shortly. What I wanted to find out was, were your ancestors, were they bakers for a shop? Did they have their own bread shop, their own local bread shop? Describe for me a little bit the
my
scene.
My parents, huh, you
mm-hmm.
say.
Your parents, yes. Your grandparents?
Yes, they have one shop in the east of France. My grandfather was at first in Alsace, in Colmar, and after he coming in the east of France, but not in Alsace, and they have one bakery. And my father, he has buy from my grandfather his bakery. And it was a small shop, I remember, but with a beautiful bread, but not so many items of bread, but some few items, and a little pastry, and little viennoiserie, but all produced by my father was very nice. Mm. And my grandfather do the same thing. So I think my grandfather give his know-how to my father.
Well, I would imagine so, and then passed on to you.
Right? Now, me, I don't see it because my father, he sell his bakery when I was 10 or 11 years old.
So. Oh, so then you re-entered the field at a later age.
Yes, I have starting again.
Well, I was reading about your background, that you started your apprenticeship at 14, and then you had a long training after that. Tell me about, I mean, this is serious work, being a baker in France. Tell me about your apprenticeship.
Yes, I starting when I was 15 for 2 years for study. After, I'm going to the army, and after, I'm going back to the Compagnon du Tour de France. It means that you go to a special school, and you stay for 5 or 6 years, and every 6 months or every year, you change the city. So you can starting, for example, in Paris, and after go in Marseille, you change the city. So it means that every time you have a new teacher, and the teacher teach you a different way to make some good bread, because you are good, I think, when you have few masters.
So it's like a guild, baker's
it's
guild.
It's a guild style, We say compagnon du devoir.
Right.
This is good people coming from, for example, carpenter or different work or plumbing. They're coming in this type of school. And in the same times, you live together, 100 or 150 young people. And we try to learn to share our food. And we need to give class to the young people, and the older give us class. So it was a philosophic school.
But interesting, too, because you learn the different, I mean, obviously, anyone who's traveled around realizes that the bread is different in different locations. So you got to absorb all these different flavors and types of bread that the people liked, right?
We say that the baker is an alchemist. You need to work with few ingredients and with the weather and with all of that. So if you start to learn in different places, you're starting to, I think, to educate your brain. To be very good to understand what it means with the weather, how it changed the fact of the fermentation. So it was for me a beautiful experience, and I was very happy to learn a lot of things with older people.
And baguettes, however, now that form of bread, the shape of the baguette, is something more or less unique to the region around Paris, is it not? I mean, you don't find it that often in a lot of... Well, now today you do, but originally was it as popular in different regions?
Now, at the origin in France, you have different regions and you have different wheat. And every wheat that you find, you make a specific shape for the bread. So you have the boule, you have the batard, you have the baguette. And you're right, it's coming a lot from area of Paris. Baguette.
That's what, and I wanted to absolutely talk about the wheat because you have what you say, your philosophy of three principles of your philosophy, authenticity, patience, we can all imagine what that is for, and creativity. Now, the authenticity, tell me about what you mean by this in the baking, because you're someone who has gone to the modern extreme with bakeries, yes, and many of them. But what? Tell me about the ingredients and the flour and the authenticity.
Yes, I have tried to find the real good recipe. So the origin of the bread that you find, that we can read since a few thousand years ago, it's coming from the levain. And the levain is a very natural yeast. It's difficult to explain for people, but, you know, we have the same fermentation for the wine, for the cheese, and for the bread. It's natural yeast. We cap this yeast, and this natural yeast push the fermentation all the time. So you need to take care of that. This is why I'm going back to this original recipe. Because, for example, if you compare to the wonder bread that you find in New York or white bread in France, it means that at this moment we decide to put a lot of yeast and a lot of improver inside to have this type of bread with no taste, nothing. Me, I'm going back to the other way. I'm going back to the fermentation, very long fermentation, very good flour, because the wheat that we choose, we can have a very long fermentation. And spirit, because you need to give back the spirit, because you work with a soft dough. So you need to teach to the young people how they can work with this soft dough and be happy with the dough.
So would you be a failed baker if you just didn't have the spirit, if you just couldn't communicate with that dough? I mean, you really seem, I mean, in looking at photographs of you with your hands in this, you know, messy dough, that you really have a feel for it.
No, I think that all bakers that I meet in my life, they say you can give the power with your hand to the dough to make something good. It's similar, you know, when you see a meister for the flour, for example, they say they take care with the hand, they think in front of the flour. I think for the bread it's the same. You give your power, you give your passion, and I think you give a lot of energy in the dough. But you need to understand the dough for sure.
Well, exactly. And this, the leavening that you use, or the yeast, I mean, nothing, that's all natural yeasts. In fact, that you're, as you say, the starter, or if you will.
Yeah, so the levain or starter,
right,
or sourdough.
Right. If anyone has been a part of a group that has passed around a starter for years and years to many different people, I mean, it's a simple process and a fun process, but not, it comes out differently in the hands of different people.
Yes.
The flour, are you using any heirloom grains, old grains?
No, we use all the grains that we can find. But at the beginning, what we need to use, it's a very good flour, so a very good wheat. So usually, for example, in New York, we use organic wheat. But you can find in France, we say CRC. It means that it's controlled, certificated by the government, and mm-hmm. you are sure that you don't have a preservative improver coming on the wheat. This
right.
is very important to have a very long fermentation. And if you eat, for example, the whole wheat and it's not organic, you have all the preservative on the wheat you can eat in the same time. So you need to find organic is better.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important.
Well, you and a colleague of yours invented, if you will, a machine for the leavening process. And tell me about this natural liquid leaven and the machine called the Fermento Levain.
Yes. You know, the levain, okay. If you remember 2,000 years or 3,000 years ago, a lady at home, she's starting to do a bread. She's starting to mix the wheat. She put water. She's starting to find the salt and put a little inside. And she's dividing his dough. Half for make the bread for the day, and half she keep for the next day. And this is the process of the natural fermentation that the people discover. And this is what we have working. We have made the fermento levain. It means that every day we put flour, water in the machine. We go up with the temperature to up temperature and after down, and we have the conservation of the levain. So it means that all the time, all the day long, we can use our levain. And we put the natural levain in. It's depending which recipe we use. For example, for baguette, we use 20%. For the sourdough, we use 40%. Mm. It's very, very simple and nice machine to take care of the dough.
Simple, but it sounds very exacting.
Exactly,
I mean,
you're
that's
right.
You know, so and brings me to the question of how with you are. You opened a shop in '96 in Paris, and now you have over 85 shops or 80 shops. You're all over the world. How do you manage the quality control?
Yes, we have every time when we open a new country, we receive the chef from this country. For example, we just opened in Mexico. So we receive Mexican people for 6 months in Paris. And this time we try to give
them
our know-how and our spirit. So after 6 months, the people go to the country. And the same time, we have chef. They work for me for a long time. They go in the country and they stay. Sometimes they are in love with the people in the country, so they stay all their life. So every country, we have the same process. We receive the people from the country because I think it's important they have the same language and same spirit, for example, for Mexican or American or Africa, where you want. And at the same time, we send French people to take care of the quality. So usually, we try to keep the same quality everywhere, but sometimes we have mistakes for sure.
Sure, I'm sure. Yeah. Do you find that when you go, as I know that you spend a lot of time in Paris, but then of course you spend majority of time on the road checking on these shops, right? Does the bread taste different to you from one country to the next, even though it would be the same recipe?
If it's the same recipe, for sure, because you change a wheat. For example, in US, you have a wheat with a lot of protein inside, so It's 13% of protein usually. So it's different that when you work with the flour, the wheat from France, with 11% of protein. So the crisp, crispy is different, the taste is different. This is why we try to adapt the recipe, to change a little the recipe, to have a longer fermentation, to put more levain, to bake a little more. Because we know when the flour is stronger, we need to bake more and give longer fermentation. So you can find you'll be not so far from the same recipe.
So everything has to be adjusted.
Yes.
Well, not even country to country, I would imagine, just even from bakery to bakery.
Yes.
They could be in the same neighborhood,
yes.
But right, a little bit different. And the ovens, is there anything in particular about the ovens? Let's give away all your secrets.
No, it's okay, because before we work a lot with a wood oven, but now in many countries you cannot use because it's dangerous.
Right.
So
hard to regulate, too.
Yeah. So we try to all the time to keep, we say the deck oven. It means that we put the dough directly to the stone of the oven. So you have a good conduction of the heat, and after it's good, it make a good bread. This is what we try to keep everywhere in every country. We keep the same oven.
Great. Well, we're going to talk more about this passion for bread that you have right after we come back from a short break. So stay tuned.
You are listening to Shadow Puppets by Odetta Hartman. This is A Taste of the Past on heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hi, we're back on A Taste of the Past, and I'm speaking with Eric Kaiser, and he is a baker extraordinaire and owner of Maison Kaiser, of which there are several shops. Now, in New York alone, you have, six shops with two more open?
Yes.
And two more in the works, right?
Yes.
And
three
more in the works. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's mind-boggling that you can go from one small shop, you know, not that long ago, to so many, and how many countries are you in?
We are now in 25 countries.
25 different countries. I guess people like the bread.
They try, you know.
It's a hit.
The most fun is in Asia, because at the beginning, they don't know how they can eat the bread, and they don't know what is the product, and now they're starting to eat more and more bread. Sandwiches and pastry and croissant. It's funny. The morning when you see Chinese starting to put the croissant inside the coffee and eat, it's just funny.
places where the French colonists had not been in evidence earlier, right? Like Vietnam, we were talking earlier, Vietnam, you expected they're great bakers. They make very good bread, taught by the French, obviously. Croissant, let's mention croissant. You mentioned viennoiserie, which refers to what, explain what that refers to the listeners.
Viennoiserie normally is when you put the butter inside the dough, butter and sugar. So usually for croissant, for example, you mix, you do butter, dough, butter, dough, butter, dough, butter, dough. So, and after you have what we say a feuilletage, a puff pastry or the croissant. For the brioche, it's a dough from baguette, for example, and we put sugar, we put the eggs, we put the butter inside. So it's beautiful after.
I'm salivating. Yes, indeed. And talking about the yeast and the dough and the puff and non-puff, some people like fine grain breads. Well, you know, there's different breads for different occasions, for sandwiches, for toast, for, you know, dunking in your coffee. I myself like large holes in my bread, or the holy loaf. I'm always in search of the holy loaf. Is it just the amount of yeast? Is it the time of the rising? Is it the flour? Is it, what is the mystery? What makes that wonderful coarse quality of the ins? You know, it's a nice thick crust and a coarse holy grain. What's the secret there?
Normally, when you want to have a crispy bread and with big holes, you need to have very long fermentation. But at first, the long fermentation, you need to have a very soft dough. So you need to add a lot of water. Mm. If you remember before, the bakers are mixing and kneading with hand. So more water you put, more difficult it was, because you need to mix more. But now we have beautiful mixer, so we can put a lot of water. We have a strong flour. After we keep the dough, we said resting time, we can keep for 1 hour or 5 hours. It means it's better if you keep longer, but you need to work with not a lot of industrial yeast. And after, you have this beautiful crispy bread and the big holes. Mm. This is the secret.
That's what I love.
Long fermentation, good mixing.
Yeah. Well, before I forget, because I have so many things to talk about, I do want to mention that what has brought you into our studio today is that you have a new book that's out in now in English, but from Feiden Press, you have the La Russe Book of Bread, Recipes to Make at Home. And it is a wonderful book because it really does make all of these what seem like mysterious recipes. How can I ever make a loaf like Eric Kaiser? You really make it accessible to the home cook.
Yes, we try to. At first, we do all the recipe in a bakery, and after we are starting to do all this recipe with a lady at home, and she do some mistakes.
A lady at home? What about the men at home?
No, but the men, but we chose the lady because I was the man at the bakery. And she do some mistake, and we wrote how you can learn with your mistake inside the book. It was a very nice experience. Mm-hmm. And I think the people are shy in front of the dough. But if they decide to go, they can share, they can do in family, with your children, with your husband. It will be a very good moment. And we say that the bread we need to share. So you can make your bread, share on the table, and all the family will be very happy with the bread. You cannot, if you want to do a good bread, you cannot work with a machine. You need to do by yourself. This is why we decide to wrote this book with Larousse. Larousse is a reference for the book. And we try to show to people from the bread to the viennoiserie how we can work.
Well, I can hear the passion in your voice. I mean, I can't wait to go home and try to talk my husband into making a nice gooey loaf of bread and knead that dough together.
No, it's good. And we,
it's good, it's good.
And we introduce how they can work with the natural levain too.
Yeah, so well, that was something that I did like about it. The beginning of the book really gives the explanation of each of, rather than just mentioning the leavening agent, rather than just mentioning yeast or flour, you go into a very nice description of what each thing is and how to use it and what to do. And so before you even get into recipes and instructions, and I think that's so helpful to people. It's written kind of like, I want to say, like cookbooks used to be written back, you know, before the 20th century, where they were, you know, people didn't have a lot of money to spend on lots of cookbooks as we do today. We have shelves filled with, you know, a French cookbook, an Italian, and a Mexican. You know, they had one reference book, and this is really a reference book. And it, you really don't, you know, you don't need anything else. It gives you, you know, explanations for everything you need. And I think that people are going to enjoy that and possibly, I hope, attempt making bread at home. But not to stop buying from Maison Kaiser, of course, because it is special. It is special. And the breads, how are all the pastries, how can the pastries aren't all baked on the same location, are they? All the pastries are baked on location as
yes,
well?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's amazing. I really find that amazing.
You need a lot of space to take care of the bakery, because now I say you do bakery, pastry, coffee, and
well,
food.
Each of the shops is also like a little cafe.
Yes, because it's nice because people, customers, can come in from the morning to the night. They have all for the lunch, for dinner, for the tea time. So you can be happy in a bakery. And me, it was my dream to gives occasion to the people to be happy all the day long, with a good quality of coffee, croissant, baguette, food.
Well, and as you mentioned, it kind of helps support all that space you need for for the bakery. Right. I mean, you know, when you go and you buy a fresh loaf of bread, as you say, you know, everyone wants to break it open and start eating it and sharing it, and you give them the opportunity to do more than that, to
yes.
get some food as well.
Right? And you see, when we go to a restaurant, what we try to eat at the beginning, it's the bread. They serve you the bread, you try. So usually when the people know, they're starting to break the bread and starting to smell, and after eating and say, it's good or it's not good. It's your first impression in a restaurant too. So I think it's very, very important thing. And I'm sure when you have guests in your home, it's the same. They try to see the bread, how is it? It's good, it's not good.
Right. Yes, you're right. It's the first impression. And of course, there are some of us who always manage to get filled up on bread before dinner. But in your case, going to your restaurants, that's a good thing, right? They like the bread and they get filled up on it. And then they can always buy more. And your croissants, I know, because I've had many of them. Oh, unfortunately, I shouldn't admit how many I've had. They are fabulous, wonderful. And Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to share your mystery and share your secrets. And I look forward to the downtown shops in New York City opening, because I will be able to access those better, and even in Brooklyn. So you can hopefully look forward to a Maison Kaiser opening in your city soon. Eric Kaiser, Maison Kaiser, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. And thank you for listening to A Taste of the Past.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.